Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm Kenneth Copeland, and I'm excited about this business about Jesus. I can tell you right now, things are happening. I'm telling you, there is an awakening for this nation and the nations of the world like has never, ever been seen by the eyes of human beings. It is loose in the earth now, and it's boiling, and it's coming to the surface, and it's going to explode in this United States with a move of God like has never been seen. Miracles like have never been seen by any human before. Ah, oh, Brother Copeland, you can't do more miracles than Jesus did. Now, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these. And these are the days of greater works. And it's still Jesus doing it.
Oh, I'm telling
you. It's still Jesus doing it. And it's time for this.
Yes.
And I'm preparing for it.
I am too.
Bill, let's go back over there to the 12th chapter of Romans, because there's something here that this came up in my spirit yesterday. And you and I talked about it and discussed it just beginning right after you got to town when we got together. Here we are in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Now, I want to point this out. It didn't say, do not be conformed to this earth. No, no. World. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. World and earth, in the natural realm, people use them interchangeably. But the Bible doesn't. And particularly if you go back to the Greek language or you go back to the Hebrew language. When he's talking about the world, he's talking about this Babylonian system of commerce, socialism, all forms of government other than God's prescribed government is socialism of one form or another, because it's men trying to meet their own needs without God. And that's a social environment. Mm-hmm. So now, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to that system out there. But be ye transformed. Okay, but how do I do that, Bill? How do I quit thinking like Babylon? How do I quit thinking that way? Particularly if I never heard any of this before, or I've been religiously indoctrinated to where I'm thinking the same way, it's just got religious overtones to it. Now, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we've been talking about this now for a week and a half, so there's another element to this that I'd like for us to, I believe the Lord wants us to work towards. I meditate on these things. Meditation in the Word of God that we've been talking about is so real and so powerful. Mm-hmm. A man doesn't see with his eyes.
Yes.
He sees with his mind.
That is correct.
And his mind will tell him what he's seeing. Mm. So you've got two people here. One of them comes from this mindset. That one comes from this mindset. They're both looking at the same thing and see two different things. Now, the Word of God is the only body of thought that you can trust. And it's not what religion says about it. Yes. It's what God said. Mm. Well, we could never be like Jesus. Well, Jesus said you could and said you should. So which one am I going to follow? Well, I have to renew my mind to that. Now, once we get to this place where we begin to renew our minds, the thing that stirred me up about this is this awakening. If you're conforming to the fact that the United States is being transformed into a socialistic state and all of that, and that's the way you see it, then you're either glad on one side or mad on the other. Because it's going to be the president's going to buy me a house, or I'm going to lose my house. I mean, it one side or the other. But when you begin to meditate on that awakening, there ain't no socialistic idea of any kind in any form that can stand up against the image of Jesus, and He is our source. Wow. But now when I get there, Bill, I'm going to have to start preparing for that awakening in my household, in my church. We've not spent enough time talking about preparing for the vision to come to pass. We're meditating. I'm meditating on the Word of God that promised that's a good thing to have children. And we've been trying to have children all this time, and we're believing God, and we've prayed over this thing, and I've meditated on it until I can just see my children running through the house. Well, hey, what are you doing to prepare for it? Are you just waiting till something happens before you prepare? Why don't you go buy a baby bed? Why don't you turn that junk room in there into a nursery? If you're meditating the deliverance of your son from prison, you're meditating, you just see him, a free man, walking out of there, born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost and preaching the gospel. Why don't you set a plate at the table?
There was a person who came out of church and witnessed that that's what this lady did. Her son had to go to prison, and she didn't stop setting a plate for him at the table.
Now, you know that had to be God that impressed her.
And he got relieved.
She is a doer of the word, not a hearer.
She never stopped
setting a plate.
She prepared for it. Now, look at this scripture. You're talking about preparation. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6 here. And as we look at Proverbs chapter 6, we know we meditate in the Word day and night, all right? So as we do meditate in that Word, he says something here kind of interesting. He says, starting at verse 20, my son, he said, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. And then he says, bind them continually about the hand. Verse 22, he says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when you awake, it shall talk with you.
Yeah.
I believe that as you meditate that word, it's going to tell you to do something in preparation for what is about to come.
Yeah. Amen.
I really believe that if somebody meditates that word right, it's going to tell them to prepare.
It'll talk to you all the time.
Absolutely.
When somebody says something, mm-hmm. particularly I notice this all the time. Mm. People say things, you're out in public and they're saying things, they talk the way they talk, and it's just glaring to me. I used to talk like that, but it's just glaring. Well, I'll tell you, this scared me half to death. I thought, whoa, you know, he's death-minded, he's death-oriented, because it's popping out of his mouth all the time. So what's happening, the Word of God is literally judging the words of my mouth and is governing my thinking. That yields to faith and not fear.
See? I'll give you an example of that, what you're talking about. So when I was with a computer company, I started meditating the Word. I got into this, and I mean, I'm just listening to y'all's tapes, and I'm excited, and folks better get out
of
my way.
That's part of your meditation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Somebody got to be preaching the Word of faith.
Absolutely.
That's where faith comes.
Yes, it does.
That's
I'm listening at this. So at noontime, the managers would get together, of which I was one, and we'd go out to a restaurant to have lunch, but we have a giant pity party out there. I mean, we'd cry about the economy and the companies putting all this weight on us and bringing in all this business. Ain't nobody buying right now, just all of that. So then the Spirit of God spoke to me, see, because it's correcting me, see, as I'm meditating this. And he said, why don't you do what you've been learning, what you've been meditating? Why don't you follow the Word of God? I said, man. So I felt convicted about talking unbelief. Now I'm with them, and that was the natural way to talk.
All of
the world.
A sudden, what they're saying is...
It's not...
Man.
Yeah, it's exactly...
Your spirit is just...
In the world, it was making sense. But in the kingdom... It wasn't.
You had a guard over your mouth.
That's exactly right. And so what I said is I got a call the last day of the month, of which we're supposed to have business for our boss. And the person called me and said, well, how are you doing this month? I said, I'm doing fine, thank you. And you call me back at 5 o'clock today, I'll have so much business I can't even put it on the books. So they laughed because they knew the economy. Hung the phone up. At 12 noon, I started getting calls from all the sales reps that worked for me that was out in the field. Hey, Bill, I just got a big order for someone. Hey, I mean, came in. At 5 o'clock, I'm over at administration booking so much business till my boss looked over my shoulder, said, Bill, that's enough. Let's save some for next month. Because he knew next month we're still in this terrible time. I booked enough for me, enough for Leo, enough for Bill Adrian, enough for everybody. Now, what was the difference? I meditated that word and changed my thinking, which built faith in my heart, but now it's time for me to be a doer of it. I've got to do something to prepare.
When you meditate that long enough, it's going to want to come out.
It's going to want to come out.
We had just gotten into this ministry, mm-hmm. and I knew from just experience from flying for Brother Roberts, mm-hmm. and saw how they used airplanes, yeah. and all that, and I knew from him and his scheduling and so forth that he couldn't do what he did. He would have to cut back his ministry and what he was doing. Oh. Even back in those days, yeah. a huge percentage, yeah. because you can't do it any other way. Right. You can't go when you want to, go when you need to, come back when you need to, go to that place where the airlines don't even go, and all that. Well, I knew that. And the Lord was talking to me about this very thing back there then. And I'm meditating the scriptures concerning believing God, standing on His word. I'd started sowing seed for that first little airplane. Mm. And I'm sitting there, I'm meditating these scriptures. Mm. And it got real, man. You know, you want to just go out and buy the thing. It is so, because you know it's yours.
Exactly.
But I'm also believing this thing's debt-free now. Yeah. I'm not going off and jump out and go wild here.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, you believe that airplane's yours? I said, I sure do. Can you see it in your spirit? I said, yeah. He said, what do you need to be doing now? I said, what do you mean? He said, now that airplane's yours, how are you going to fly it without your instrument charts and your flight case? Where's your flight case? I said, well, I don't have an airplane. I don't have a flight case. He said, why don't you? I thought you told me you had an airplane. It's yours. Now, I'm either going to talk faith or I'm not. And when you start talking faith, people think you're an egotist and all that, because they don't know the difference.
Nope.
I said, thank God. I didn't have enough money to buy the airplane, but I had enough money to buy that flight case about this big. I went right straight to that pilot shop and bought that bag. And I've got me a subscription to my instrument charts, and I'm ready. He said, where are you going to keep it? Oh, yeah, and I prayed about that, and now I know where I'm going to keep it. I went out there and picked out my hangar. I'm preparing.
You prepare.
I'm preparing for the vision to come to pass. Mm. And the more I prepared for it, the stronger it got in me. I noticed that I can meditate on this thing and see myself, but it would only go so far. But when I became a doer of it, then it would expand. Is the church today, right now, 2010, mm-hmm. are they preparing for home foreclosure, or are they preparing for the most overwhelming awakening that this nation's ever seen? Now, somewhere down the line, we're going to have to start preparing for tens of thousands of people that need us, mm-hmm. and need us, need to know the word, and they're getting saved on the streets, and so forth. and because this thing is ready to happen. But if you don't prepare, it won't happen in your church when it's happening in everybody else's.
See, this Joseph prepared storehouses.
He did, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He prepared. He was doing that by faith. It was a vision that he had.
Yeah, he did. That's what he was acting on.
Absolutely.
Now, that vision came out of the blessing.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. It came out of the blessing. But his responsibility was, he had to keep that vision alive. He had to keep that word rich in his heart, because that devil was after that vision.
Yeah.
He was after it.
Now, the devil is after the vision because the blessing is his enemy.
That's exactly right.
Now, you remember what we read over there?
Yes.
One day last week, we read over there in James, it said, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Yep. Continue looking into the perfect law of liberty.
Yep.
And this man shall be blessed
in his deed.
What deed? His acting on the word will activate the blessing, and now what he did comes into reality.
Oh, goodness.
Now, I'm telling you, the meditating the word, speaking the word, acting on it, and as I begin to prepare, the preparation and the supernatural change come together. And oh, man, when they do. You get past this, well, I wish God would do that for me. He did it for Brother Bill. Why don't he do it for me?
See?
No, that's all you see is ain't nobody ever does nothing for you. They're doing something to you all the time. But when you come out, when you begin to take this word, it starts changing in here. Then it changes here. Then it changes here. Then it begins to change here. Now, all the time, God's got angels and people and things working out there that you don't even know are happening.
Okay, now you hit on something now. When you start meditating the Word of God, three things begin to develop. One, a resetting of the boundary in your life.
The fences are moving. Yeah.
Second, the decisions that you make are now different.
The word of the Lord just come to me.
Go ahead.
Oh, he said, I didn't set that boundary.
My goodness.
Well, yeah, I just believe God wants me, No. God didn't set that boundary. In him, there are no boundaries.
That's it. If you know how to believe, he said, all things are possible, didn't he? So all things are possible to them who know how to believe, if you're a believer.
Yeah.
So the decisions now are made different. Because once you see it from another perspective, then your decisions become different. It's amazing how decisions are different in somebody's mind or in their thinking and behavior when they see the whole problem, when they see the whole thing, when they got access to more information than people who have access to limited information. They're trying to figure out, why did he make such a dumb decision?
Well, and like isn't that what Brother Roberts said to me when he said, when your finances are bottlenecked, well, this would be the same in any area. He was just talking to me about ministry income and so forth. When your finances are bottlenecked, there's always a key issue that only can be seen through faith. You won't even see it. You don't know what the real problem is. So what do? You start fighting the politicians and you start fighting somebody that you think's against you and they don't love me. And then, if I could just get rid of this woman, everything would turn out all right. Well, that ain't your problem,
that ain't
man.
The problem.
And the more you center up on the way things look, you don't know how they are. And the devil will hide stuff on you. He'll
This is what meditation does. It allows people to come back into faith. Brother Copeland, I believe that what you just said was 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. See, this 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that you can't see it except through faith.
No.
So you may as well get back into faith so you can see a way out.
We were in one of Brother Hagin's meetings, and he got talking about having three eyes.
Gotcha.
You got these two plus eye of faith. Well, I got excited about that, and I thought, wow, and I got to talking that. And John, this little old boy, he was in the back seat with Kelly, and we'd driving along. He said, he hollered me, Daddy! I said, what, son? He said, ain't it great to have three eyes? I mean, he grabbed that as a little boy. Things, it's I see through these eyes.
In the eye of your faith.
But if I look through the eye of faith, I begin to see the thing the way God sees it. And it takes the realm of impossibility out of the equation, doesn't it?
Well, now that's the third piece. So the first piece is the boundaries change. Next piece, your decisions change. And the third thing is your personal recognition system comes alive.
Man, praise God.
You begin to see answers and things that are relative to assisting you in getting to your goal that you did not even see before you start meditating. That's why people say, I couldn't find them keys. Where did you? They were right there all the time. If it was a snake, it'd have bit you. Uh-huh. The reason why you were looking at them, but you didn't see it. But personal recognition system comes alive through meditation. All of a sudden, you can say, hey, that brother. Hey, that's my help right there. Whoa, glory to God. That's the scripture right there. That's the one that's going to get me. All of a sudden.
That's what it does when you meditate on the Word.
That's it.
Amen. It begins to lead and guide you all through God's Word.
Yes.
Another scripture will come to you thinking. You'll be thinking about what you heard Sunday morning.
Yes, indeed.
Wow,
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
It comes alive.
Now, I remember when Brother Winston said this,
yes, indeed.
And all of a sudden I hear your voice.
Yes,
I hear it come up on inside.
Yes, indeed.
I still hear Brother Hagin's voice. I still hear Brother Robert's voice.
I just hear him
comes up inside me like I was sitting there listening to a tape of it. And it'll form up the base for my decision on that. Oh, yeah, now that's the answer.
And it'll get you over.
I don't need to be out there trying to figure out how to get the money to do this. I need to believe God and sow the seed and believe for the harvest. The money's already there. I've heard you say it over and over. It isn't a money problem. It's a faith problem. We're out of time. Well, Brother Bill and I'll be back in just a moment. Glory to God.
Is living the good life beyond your reach? Get a new vision of your future. Take a look at your circumstances through a different perspective. See things through God's eyes and change your mind about your life. Author, entrepreneur, and pastor Bill Winston is about to become your personal life coach. His book, Transform Your Thinking, Transform Your Life, will radically change your thoughts, world, and destiny forever. All 18 chapters of his book will take you on a journey to discover the future God really has for you. Page by page, you'll learn how to remove the barriers you've placed on God's ability to move in your life. Change the way you think about yourself and God. Get rid of unbelief and build your faith. Replace negative thoughts with promises from God's Word. Start living in the impossible and see your life changed. Renew your mind and restore your ability to walk in God's abundance. It's time for you to transform your thinking and transform your life. Order your copy of Bill Winston's book entitled Transform Your Thinking, Transform Your Life, now available for just $12. This book brings valuable information on how to focus your thoughts and bring lasting change to your life. For 48-hour processing, order the Transform Your Thinking, Transform Your Life online. For this and other products, go to kcm.org. Or you may call us toll-free, 800-600-7395.
Now, for anybody, I don't care who they are, to transform your thinking, you have to have supernatural help to do it, because otherwise you just reconform to what's already out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And in order to do that, you're going to have to turn your life over to Jesus.
Mm.
Now, why did Jesus come? Well, I don't know. Well, why not just ask him? Why'd you come, Jesus? I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And the word says that the believer has the mind of Christ. So, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right now's the moment to do it. Don't wait another moment. You don't need to be living one more second without him as Lord of your life. So you just pray with Brother Bill and me right now with all your heart. Just say, "Oh, Father in heaven, I believe with all my heart." Say it out loud. "I believe with all my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you, sir. I repent of sin. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. Jesus, you're my future. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I believe your word." Now, what does his word say? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth man believes righteousness, and with the heart man believes the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let us know, because I'm going to send you these five little books, free and postpaid, to help you get started reading your Bible. You don't need to struggle with this marvelous book. Praise God. Amen. And besides that, let us know you got saved. It tickles us beyond words. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember again that Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland online at kcm.org.